Blog Talk Radio.
The valley.
Deus e Pai, em nome de Jesus, chegamos a Ti mais uma vez para Te agradecer por esta oportunidade de estarmos reunidos em Teu nome para Te adorarmos em espírito e em verdade, para Te servirmos no Teu reino e em tudo, Senhor, o Teu nome esteja sendo glorificado. Te agradecemos, Senhor, pela oportunidade, mais esta oportunidade que nos dás de, em Teu nome, cumprirmos o mandato do Teu Filho, prestarmos toda a honra para que Ele possa ser conhecido sobre a face da terra, possa o Seu nome trazer, Senhor, o resplendor da Tua glória sobre as vidas que Tu desejas alcançar. Que este programa seja uma bênção para o Teu povo, seja saúde, seja cura, para as almas que tu tens preparado para que te conheçam. Este é o nosso desejo. Em nome e para a glória de Jesus oramos. Amém. Amados, mais uma vez agradecemos a presença de todos. Estamos satisfeitos por estarmos transmitindo este programa que sabemos que estava no coração de Deus, fosse realizado. Vamos ter connosco um convidado muito especial, uma pessoa que se dedica ao reino de uma forma muito particular, um pastor que há mais de 30 anos procura servir o Senhor Jesus, ajudando vidas a libertarem-se dos grilhões das trevas, dos grilhões do inimigo, vidas que outrora haviam sido consagradas aos propósitos do exército das trevas. Mulheres e homens também que foram trabalhados, traumatizados através de formas e rituais malignas, de maneira a que fosse a sua consciência partilhada, onde os espíritos malignos pudessem habitar em conjunto com aquela alma, com coisas que nos vêm só de falar, quanto mais algum dia pudermos imaginar alguns dos nossos queridos passar por isso. Mas, infelizmente, estamos destinados a enfrentar esta malignidade e por isso devem trazer vidas ao conhecimento destas causas. Mulheres que nasceram em famílias abastadas, pertencentes a elites, não somente europeias, mas pessoas da nobreza de todos os continentes, mas que estavam destinados a servir um Deus que não é o Deus da Bíblia. Estavam destinadas a servir de escravas sexuais e dar à luz seres que estariam sendo preparados para possuir tantos demónios que iriam ser autênticos, ou estão sendo autênticos, bonecos, fantoches nas mãos deles. São chamados híbridos. Não é nada novo. Sabemos que pela Bíblia já aconteceu antes do dilúvio, mistura entre esses anjos caídos e as mulheres, a raça humana. E por causa disso Deus trouxe um grande juízo sobre a humanidade, poupando apenas as vidas que pertenciam à família de Noé. Hoje está-se assistindo como Jesus profetizou, tudo isso de novo, uma corrupção geral, o homem brincando de Deus, misturando genes entre animais, pessoas, mas não só isso, entre pessoas e demónios, espíritos malignos que procuram a todo custo possuir corpos para conduzir a agenda do anticristo. Mas vamos ouvir falar sobre isto tudo. Mas mais uma vez eu peço paciência, porque estarem a transmitir em duas línguas para os nossos irmãos que não entendem o português. Estaremos trazendo o nosso convidado, o pastor Doug Riggs. Em breve ele estará ao vivo aqui para contar a sua história. Acreditamos que será um e alguns programas que iremos fazer em conjunto com esse ministério. Eu já pus o link no chat room, se quiserem conferir, entrem nesse link, que é o website do pastor. Estarei agora dando as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos em inglês e estaremos adorando a Deus durante um período de cerca de 15 minutos e depois irei continuar o programa com a entrevista ou o diálogo que iremos ter com o Sr. Riggs, que vai nos contar a sua história e os seus testemunhos de vida. Deus abençoe a todos, todos possamos ser alimentados pelo nosso Deus. Fiquem à vontade, se tiverem alguma dúvida, entrem no chat room, façam o login, podem se logar com o vosso e-mail ou com a conta do Facebook e ponham as questões que entenderem. Que Deus abençoe a todos, em nome de Jesus. Welcome friends, my brothers and my sisters once again. I welcome you all to this show, this special show. We will have here Pastor Doug Wiggs that serves our God for more than 30 years, a special mission. He is a counselor, a pastor, a friend of victims of ritual satanic rituals. He will talk about his experience, about what he has learned on these years, what are behind the curtains of this world, so politically correct, but so with so many horrors hidden. And our God is bringing his judgment, but first he wants to know that why these things, these horrible things will happen on these days. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus Christ, who said, as in the days of Noah, will be on the days before I will return. And all these things that we are seeing, just the beginning of the pain. For the justice of God, for God brings his justice first, there must be the injustice of men. And this is what we are, that's what we are going to talk about here. His pastor is in the front line against the force of the evil for more than 30 years. He deals with traumatic situations, with people that has his mind shattered on ritual abuses from satanic orders, secret societies that help these orders, only to infuse them so much demons that can control completely this person. This is a deliverance ministry, and he will bring his story to help us understand the urgency of the hour, not only for save ourselves, but to work and present on that day in the face of our God with the fruit of our faith. So please, let's worship our God a little bit more, and I will call our guest, and he will tell us all the truth. I hope that this is the first of many shows that we can have in an agreement of faith with this ministry, because these are the people, these are the chosen ones of our Lord, our King, that are chosen from the beginning of the world to be overcomers. And this is the one that we want beside us in these days. My brothers and my sisters, stay blessed. Please worship our God with a grateful heart, because he is worthy. May the Lord bless us all. In Jesus' name.
Desde o céu por sobre a terra, seu amor foi derramado sobre nós. Do mais alto santuário, seu perdão foi derramado sobre nós. Desde os montes eternos, salvação ainda flui sobre nós. É a canção da eternidade, como o rio ainda flui sobre nós. Basta um relance dos seus olhos, um sussurro dos seus lábios. Abre os meus ouvidos, quero ouvir a música do céu. Salvação é a canção, como chuva ainda cai sobre nós. Faz brotar em nossos corações o desejo de cantar mais e mais. Quanto mais eu canto, tanto mais eu sinto a vida de Deus em mim. Salvação é a canção, como o rio ainda flui entre nós. Seu amor é desde o céu por sobre a terra, é desde o céu por sobre a terra. O seu perdão é desde o céu por sobre a terra, é desde o céu por sobre a terra. Desde o céu por sobre a terra, seu amor foi derramado sobre nós. Do mais alto santuário, seu perdão foi derramado sobre nós. Desde os montes eternos, salvação ainda flui sobre nós. É a canção da eternidade, como o rio ainda flui sobre nós. Salvação é a canção, como chuva ainda cai sobre nós. Faz brotar em nossos corações o desejo de cantar mais e mais. Quanto mais eu canto, tanto mais eu sinto a vida de Deus em mim. Salvação é a canção, como um rio ainda flui entre nós.
Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. He traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. You're all of badness in the times of pain. Your grace, your grace.
Nadie me ve en la intimidad donde no puedo hablar más que la verdad, donde no hay apariencia, donde al descubierto queda mi corazón, allí soy sincero. Allí mi apariencia de piedad se va. Allí es tu gracia lo que cuenta, tu perdón lo que sustenta para estar de pie. Y no podría dar la cara si no fuera porque soy revestido de la gracia y la justicia del Señor. Si me vieran tal cual soy, se enterarían que es Jesús lo que han visto reflejado en mí. Tan solo fue su luz, y es por tu gracia y tu perdón que podemos ser llamados instrumentos de tu amor. Y es por tu gracia y tu perdón mi justicia queda lejos de tu perfección. Y no podría dar la cara si no fuera porque soy revestido de la gracia y la justicia del Señor. Si me vieran tal cual soy, se enterarían que es Jesús lo que han visto reflejado en mí. Tan solo fue tu luz, y es por tu gracia y tu perdón que podemos ser llamados instrumentos en tu amor, y es por tu gracia y tu perdón. Mi justicia queda lejos de tu perfección.
Que no te pones de pie y le das ese aplauso más fuerte a Él por su justicia, por su santidad que nos ha sido dada, y podemos acercarnos al Padre con libertad y con confianza, sin temor.
Okay, let me see if we have Pastor Doug with us already. Professor, can you hear me? Brother Doug, can you hear me? Are you there, brother? Okay, maybe we've lost connection. We'll try to call again. Okay, can't have connection, no sign. Okay, we'll try again once more. No answer. Okay, we will continue to worship our God. Maybe we will fix this later. Once more. Okay. Let's continue our worship our God and try to call him again.
To avoid disconnect.
Mr. Doug, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay, something happened here. Brother Doug, can you hear me? Okay. Do we have sign? Hello, can you? Brother Doug, can you hear me? Something wrong with this line. I can't hear you. Brother Doug, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me, brother? I'm hearing some sounds, but not your voice. Okay. Let's continue to worship our God. We'll try to make the call again.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Seems that we have the line okay now. Brother Doug, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Thanks, God. Welcome, brother.
Yes.
After all these problems, God is with us. We will prevail. How are you?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
So, I am hearing some echo. Can you put the sound of your computer a little bit down? Because I am hearing...
Hold on just a second. Let me change phones here.
Okay.
There you go. Is that any better?
Okay. Yes. So, brother, it's a pleasure for us to have you here. It's a big honor for us to have such a warrior amongst us. We are hungry for your testimony, for know the story of your life, your ministry, and the experience of your work in the kingdom. So, if you're ready, let's jump now, because we have lost some time here. We want to know how all started and how you get to know what you know today, and how you can hold on so much here on the front line against these armies of darkness.
Yes, well, thank you, Jose, and for this time that we can be together. And for your listening audience, just pray that God would fulfill the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, 17 and following, and also in Ephesians 3, 16 and following, that prayer would be answered as we talk.
Amen.
I came to the Lord when I was probably around 11, but I didn't really grow. I wasn't in a church. So my teenage years were pretty much rebellious. I was in a reform school twice as a young boy in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I turned in my early 20s, I started using drugs, marijuana and LSD and different hallucinogenic drugs. And for me, it was seeking out a spiritual experience. And then I was very empty and really knew that my life was just basically bankrupt. And I was in a store where I was working, and I just said, God, if you're there, I don't want to be in control of my life. I want you to take over. Well, I had a couple of what we call hits of mescaline, which is a hallucinogenic drug, which I had planned on taking that evening, which is a Saturday evening. And for some reason, it's not really clear to me. I don't know why. But I took this mescaline, and I read through the Gospel of John. And the Lord just absolutely came alive to me. It was like he walked off the pages of the Bible right into the room where I was, and I was... the Lord was more real than my physical body that I was in. And the whole night was like that. And then the next morning I went out to a park and everything was new. I could just see the Creator and everything that I looked at. And I thought that this was attributing to the mescaline that I had taken. I thought, wow, I will only use these hallucinogenic drugs to seek the Lord. And so I had one more hit of this mescaline. I planned the next week I could have this, repeat this same experience with the Lord. So I took the mescaline, and absolutely nothing happened. I mean, nothing. And so out from that, the Lord showed me that this has nothing to do with drugs, that the drugs are really an open door for the enemy. And there was a long, slow process of coming out of that drug culture to where I am today.
Yes.
That was back in probably 1968. And so I began to really immerse myself in the Word and went to a Bible college in the early 70s. And I left the Bible college early and attended a church in Houston, Texas, where the pastor taught every night. The expository teaching from the Bible, from the original Greek and from the original Hebrew. And so I was there and ordained at this church in Houston, a Bible church, and after that I went to seminary, and I got out of seminary, in the early 80s, as I was studying the Bible, I began to see, that which pertains to the eternal purpose of God, as we see in the book of Ephesians. And as I was reading Ephesians 4 and verse 13 in the original Greek, the phrase is that God has given certain ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry until we all attain the unity of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that is, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. And I was talking to the Lord about that verse, and I said, well, this is an indefinite temporal clause, which means it's open-ended. I mean, God must have certain things in place before he can return for his church. And so I asked the Lord, I said, what do you require in order for this verse, and there are others that I've taught on the website, the prerequisites for the return of our Lord, that we have that posted, 8 or 9 Bible studies on this. But back then I asked, what do you need in order to return? What is withholding you from returning for your church? And so that began a long journey. I didn't really know until about 10 years later that after I began to pastor a church in 1983, there were people that were growing, and I was teaching the Word of God, and yet they still had strongholds, they still had problems, they had heard voices in their head, and I didn't even believe a Christian could be demonized, Jose. So I just believed that the Bible would be enough to just keep teaching them, that they would get better, and come to find out, because that many of these people have been subjected to trauma-based mind control. They were split and they were divided. Used to be called multiple personality disorder, which is a result of chronic and severe trauma in early childhood, which splits the identity. And I didn't know that at the time. And so I began to counsel some of the people that were in our assembly, our church, and some of them got better and some of them did not. And I was very frustrated. So in 1991, I read a book titled Uncovering the Mystery of MPD, which is Multiple Personality Disorder. And I started to share that with some of the people that I had been working with. And one person, a little six-year-old part of her, she's an adult, a six-year-old part of her came out and said, "Hi, my name is Sarah. I like ducks and ice cream." And she was curled up on the couch and sucking her thumb. And here she is a grown woman, and she's talking to me out of a six-year-old part of her. And I said, "Well, why haven't I ever met you before? I mean, what is this all about?" Because I've been reading this kind of thing in that book that I had mentioned by Dr. Jim Friesen. And she said, "Because we didn't believe that you would believe us." The us being those different parts of themselves that were split off in trauma. And he said, "Well, because that I had begun to come into an understanding that trauma in early childhood causes the identity, the person's identity, to split and to fragment, because I began to read that, then this part of her came out." Now, what's interesting, Jose, is that I asked the host person, that is the conscious presenting person, if she knew that was there. And she says, "No, she had no idea that this younger part of herself called Sarah was even there." So dissociation represents a phenomenon that happens to little children when they're subjected to chronic child abuse. And that, the people I've been working with, ritual abuse, horrific experience. And during the trauma and the splitting of the identity, demons come in to the person and attach to the split-off parts of their identity. And then, of course, there's conditioning and there's programming that people are subjected to that it's written about in a number of books. Russ Dizdar's book, The Black Awakening, Dizdar. Of course, he has written about this, and there others have written on it. And so that began our, in 1991, that began our journey of working with survivors of satanic ritual abuse, not only in our church, but all over the United States. And that journey that we have, that we began back in the mid-80s working with demonized people, has continued on with our understanding and growth and in working with these people. And now, after 23 years of working with the DID, the dissociative identity disorder, which was formerly multiple personality disorder, and of course working with occult bondages since 1985, we have gone through a process where today we are, there's a lot of demand for what we do. We, I'm right now involved with training other counselors and throughout Europe and South Africa, and United States. We've been we've made a trip to South Africa and been to Germany, done training there, been invited back to Germany. So what we're doing now is more of a training, but we see people that have gone through this process and are fully integrated. They're no longer fragmented. They are fruitful and productive in their lives. But it's taken a long time because there was no one out there that we knew that had any understanding of this. And so we kind of had to pioneer the way and find, and God had to lead us to where we are today. But we are seeing the Lord do amazing things. And even though it's very challenging and very difficult to work with this population of people, the reward is as they come together in their fragmented parts of themselves that have been split through trauma and abuse, as their identity comes back together, then there is a place for the Lord in their lives, and they're very unique in how the Lord uses them. So it is it's a unique kind of ministry in the sense that this what I'm talking about is in every church that I've seen. The problem is pastors are asleep, they're just not equipped to recognize what's going on. And so this is very, very hidden. What this represents is Satan has his agents right in the body of Christ, right in the church. And all these people that have been engineered and programmed to be his agents, every one of them have been Christian. But because of the trauma and the amnesia that is there, they didn't know that they had been programmed to infiltrate the church and to, you know, to destroy the ministries and to weaken the spiritual life of God's people on an occult spiritual level. And so this is what I've been working with for almost 30 years now.
Okay, brother. I'm going to update this in Portuguese because there's a lot of people that don't speak English. They are waiting for me to translate. And we will be using these methods. But I want you to know that what you have said about the state of the church on this day, it's sad because the real pastors, like you, they do the same thing. They imitate the example of the true pastor, the pastor of the pastor. They leave 99 on to go after the last one, but unfortunately, the majority of pastors don't want to work these people, don't want to lose time with them, because they are interested not on the service, they are interested on the privilege of being recognized as a pastor, like titles and things like this. In short words, they want the benefits, but they don't work for get the, for be worthy of them. And you are a few of last examples of true pastors that leave 99 to go after one that is lost. So this is the kind of person that I want to bring to knowledge his works. To be beside them, to help them what we can, to show the world, that the gospel is not this commerce that is outside. This is not the real Jesus. This is not the real body of Christ. This is the fake gospel. This is the fake body of Jesus Christ that is the body of Mammon, not from Jesus. But there is a real body. There is a real pastor. There is real servants of God. That's why when I got the knowledge of your work and what you were doing, I went to see some things, check some friends like that you know, like Scott Kisler. And I was amazed because unfortunately on these days you are a rare good example. There still are good congregations, there still are great men of God that are worthy of being called real pastors, but unfortunately you know that is a minority, right?
Well, I think too is that our seminaries and places where and churches where people are growing up, they're not always taught the whole counsel of God. The pastors themselves are ignorant of certain key areas, like Satan is. Jesus refers to Satan as a real person who has power, and so we don't really have a systematic study of that which represents who our enemy is. Mm-hmm. And that's not our focus. I mean, the Lord is our focus. But at the same time, Jesus, he referred to Satan as the prince of this world 3 times in John. He refers to the prince of this world. So prince in the Greek means he is the ruler. And he took that rule of the world, as we see in Luke chapter 4, when all the kingdoms of this world and their glory were handed over to him when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, that the kingdoms of this world and his glory, which was designed by God, the purpose of God, that man should be in possession of that. Well, he surrendered that when he sinned, and therefore the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's 1 John 5:19. Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, that is the lower atmosphere. That is now working, that is energeia, supernaturally operational in the sons of disobedience. Paul says that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, human beings, but with principalities, with powers, with the world rulers of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, and therefore put on the whole armor of God. I mean, this was real. And unfortunately, I think pastors are not equipping their people. I'm not saying all of them are not, but you know, generally, at least here in America, there people are afraid to talk about the devil. They think, well, you're going to be making too much of him, and you're making him too big and God too small. It's ridiculous. The level of captivity that I have seen is so vast in the body of Christ. The phenomenon that I'm working with is in every church. The problem is, when I say every church that represents true salt and light, that represents a potential or real threat to the enemy, this will be there. Mm-hmm. Satan will have positioned himself through this kind of thing that I'm working with, talking about, SRA, DID. He's going to position himself. So if pastors are not equipped spiritually and even, of course, know how to work with this as a trauma-related disorder as well as a spiritual phenomenon, then they won't even see it, and there will be all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties that are going on, and they will never get to the bottom of it a lot of times because they don't understand the level of spiritual warfare that we've entered into in these last days.
That's true, Pastor, and unfortunately, I've been checking on the internet. Those few men like you that really engage in spiritual warfare and even presenting the fruits and bringing the testimonies of the victims, even so, they are so attacked, they are so criticized by those that I don't consider them real Christians. I don't consider them people that believe in the gospel, because if they believe in the gospel, they were not criticizing those that present fruit like you present. So I have seen the critics that your ministry are being targeted. But I want you to know that there are people like us, that we are with you, we support you, we believe in what you are doing, We want you to know that it's not in vain. Maybe God is raising now 300 Gideons now, but they will appear to do the work, to do the deliverance of the body of Christ, because Satan has moved his armies on this chessmate. As you said, he has infiltrated with these zombies, these people that they are there. I don't have any word for people like this that they cannot control. And I have seen it my own eyes. I have worked with a blind guy that is already gone now, but he was a blind guy who had been traumatized in the childhood. And I have worked with people like this, and I saw with my own eyes how they change. You are speaking with these people about something, it's okay, it's a good atmosphere. Suddenly, if we go to worship God or if we start talking about the Bible, it's like if you are talking to another person with another face. It's incredible. It's almost for us, when God gives us the Spirit to discern and when we have the knowledge, the will to work with these people, we can overcome. But it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of your force, and only the people that are really, really wanting to serve Jesus Christ, to be like Him, can do a good work. And your work, as I have already saw, it's amazing. It's not one or two dozens of victims profoundly traumatized. I can only imagine how great experience you have been on deliverance sessions. But well, this is important for people to know, because I know there are a lot of people. They know what we are talking here, but they are ashamed of telling these problems. They are ashamed because in their congregation they will not be understand. They will be criticized. They will be called crazy. But I want to know these people, our listeners in English, that speak English, and those that I will update all this now. I want them to know that there is people like you that can support, can help them, because this is your call. So just give me 5 minutes, because I'm going to tell all of this. And then I will ask you to tell us about your work on South Africa. If these people that you have helped, they are with you now on the ministry, they help you. So we will continue. Just let me update this in Portuguese. Okay, brother?
Okay.
Okay. Meus amados, nós estávamos falando, a pastora esteve a contar a sua história desde o início. Eu também fui como qualquer outra pessoa, uma pessoa rebelde, evangélica, também experimentou os seus anos de rebeldia, dizendo que teve problemas com drogas, e experimentou as drogas e tudo isso. Um dia, quando eu senti a necessidade de parar com tudo, senti que estava a perder por completo o controle da sua vida, eu pedi a Deus que se revelasse, e enquanto tomava uma aspirina lá, uma daquelas drogas, uma vitamina ou qualquer coisa daquelas que eu não sei precisar o que era, eu leu a Bíblia e parecia que Deus estava ali no quarto, né, caminhando em cima das letras, uma profunda experiência. Ele pensou que aquilo tivesse sido uma experiência devido à droga, né? No outro dia eu quis experimentar de novo, tomou outra vez a mesma droga, e depois já não aconteceu nada. Mas ele ficou viciado em Jesus. A partir dali ele, como não alcançou a mesma experiência com a droga, abdicou da droga, mas não abdicou da Bíblia nem da presença de Deus. E voltou a ter experiência, e foi assim que Deus o tirou do mundo das drogas para o levar para uma igreja onde ele aprendeu sobre o Evangelho, aprendeu ajudar pessoas, é ser chamado para o ministério, até hoje. E a pouco e pouco foi tendo, travando conhecimento sobre estes casos de pessoas que têm traumas, são traumatizados, ritualmente traumatizados desde a infância, de forma a lhe abrirem a mente, partirem ali, estilhaçarem a sua personalidade, de forma a poderem ser possuídos por espíritos malignos. E numa dessas sessões, uma pessoa que estava possuída, ele começou a trabalhar essa pessoa, de repente ele não sabia nada sobre esses programas. Infelizmente até os governos muitas vezes apoiam em segredo para criar super soldados. Mas isso já é outra história que nós iremos abordar. De repente aquela pessoa, bem, o pastor estava a tentar libertar, de repente assume uma personalidade de uma criança. Começa a ter comportamento, atitudes de uma criança, começa a falar como se fosse uma determinada Sara de 9 anos. E o que é mais interessante é que essa dupla personalidade que nunca tinha manifestado, nem a própria pessoa, portanto a própria pessoa que possuía esse espírito juntamente, tinha conhecimento daquela personalidade, ou seja, eles não têm consciência de que possuem espíritos dentro deles que tomam posse deles quando bem entendem. Então foi assim, depois começou a investigar em livros, subconsciente e por aí fora, e começou a entender que existe uma programação, existe um bloco por trás disto tudo, que não é um caso isolado, que há pessoas a trabalharem neste sentido e que a coisa chega lá acima, há outros governamentais e experiências e agências secretas que estão trabalhando, cumprindo isso. Muitas vezes iludindo, não é? Os próprios governantes, a investigação científica, e no fundo estão trabalhando para o inimigo, para, digamos, preparar um exército de zumbis, que no fundo são pessoas que perdem o controle do seu corpo quando são ativadas essas duplas ou triplas personalidades. E essas pessoas têm uma vida aparentemente normal, mas através de uma frequência, através de um código qualquer, uma palavra-chave ou alguma coisa, são ativadas aquelas personalidades e, por incrível que pareça, essas pessoas estão infiltradas nas igrejas. São preparadas por essas organizações feitas, o que quiserem chamar, para terem essa vida aparentemente completamente normal. De repente, quando for preciso, estão nos locais certos, na hora certa, para produzir um escândalo numa igreja, para deitar abaixo uma igreja. Por isso, isto está a acontecer, a nível geral, e é um perigo para todas as pessoas que dependem do evangelho, que eu costumo chamar um evangelho templo-centrista, não é? Que é lá, muitas vezes, que vão ficar profetizos, lá muitas vezes que vão buscar um conselho e sem se aperceber disso estão a abdicar da sua comunhão individual com Deus, da sua relação pessoal, para estar sempre dependentes de pessoas que nem sempre estão em melhores condições que eles para dar conselhos, porque muitas das vezes quem está lá na frente são precisamente estes agentes e de repente podem ser ativados e dar uma direção completamente contrária daquilo que seria o desejado. Nós vamos dar continuidade a esta conversa com o pastor para saber se essas pessoas que ele tem ajudado continuam no ministério, têm ajudado, e eu gostaria de conhecer algumas das experiências que o pastor possa ter para nos contar acerca disso, porque eu mesmo tive uma experiência com um amigo meu, que até já faleceu, que tinha sido traumatizado na infância, tinha perdido a visão e foi um trauma de tal forma tão grande que eu possuía uma personalidade dividida. Muitas vezes estávamos falando com ele, de repente íamos, vamos orar ou vamos adorar a Deus, e de repente aquela pessoa transformava-se. Era uma pessoa nova que estava ali a falar comigo com atitudes completamente diferentes. E eu tenho consciência de que o meu amigo, que eu conhecia como meu amigo, não tinha controle sobre isso. E fosse o que fosse que apoderasse dele, era como desligasse o meu amigo. Ligava e apoderava, e de repente ele estava muito feliz connosco, e de repente a disposição mudava, o ambiente mudava, ele já não queria fazer nada, se aceitava já ia só para atrapalhar, para começar. Era uma coisa impressionante. Só quem sabe, só quem experimenta uma coisa dessas é que consegue ver a subtileza como estas pessoas são apenas carcaças andantes nas mãos do inimigo. E eu posso falar por experiência própria, mas tenho certeza que melhor do que eu, este pastor, o nosso irmão Brother Doug, tem muito mais experiências para nos contar. Fiquem connosco, tá? Porque com certeza vai valer a pena ouvir estes testemunhos. Brother Doug, I have already updated what you were talking. So, please, what I really want is for you to connect all the dots here, because this is not a random case. This is not just one case. I have seen some of your videos. I have heard some of your interviews, and you were one of a vast number of testimonies that are saying to the world there is a hidden net of hidden and powerful persons that are behind these curtains, behind this politically correct world and Christianity, that are fulfilling the agenda of the enemy and using human life, and not only human lives, to create an army of zombies, aberrations. And these people, I know, you know, as I have heard your testimony, are influential people, are people with power. And only when the world, the majority of the people of this world, awakened for this reality, we will be able to change the course of the humanity. Please, don't be afraid to tell us what you know, as this is why I called you here. We are a ministry of evangelical ministry. We are not here to negotiate the truth. We are not here to try to make agreements. We are here to serve Jesus Christ. We have paid the price. I have paid the price, not only for the salvation, but for being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. It cost me not 10% of my life or my resorts. It cost me all. So please, we want to know all that you know, okay?
Well, I think for your listening audience, when I first started doing what's called the Bite Show interviews, they're now posted on my website. It's under the Bite Show. My purpose was to equip Christians for the time in which we live. It is designed to equip the people of God to be prepared for the there's a coming global crisis that will be here as the Lord comes. He will rescue his church out of that great time of wrath that is coming on the whole world. The church will not go through that which is ordained prophetically for Israel and the nations. And so on our website, we have all these messages on the Bite Show, and our web administrator has been putting up videos. That is, he has edited some of these shows that we have done and put in PowerPoint. And the first thing he did was, what is the church? And then I think the Blessed Hope. So under the video section, these are messages from the Bite Show, but they've been edited in using PowerPoint. And so for people to understand more about, you know, where I am as a pastor is that everything I put on the Bite Show was to equip people to understand from the Word of God where we are in history, what His purpose is in this last generation before Jesus Christ returns. This is the purpose for this, for the teaching on the website. We have other things on the website that have to do with the ministry and other writings and teachings that we feel are important, but that's the whole purpose of doing the Bite Show, was to equip people and to the church needs to wake up. The church is so much in the West anyway, is Laodicean in its character. It's, I am rich and I have need of nothing, and Jesus says, you do not know, you do not know that you're poor, miserable, blind, wretched, and naked. Therefore, buy from me gold refined in fire. Well, that gold is God, the character of Jesus Christ that only comes through fire. You said, you have, Jose, that you have lost everything. Well, that's, Paul said that in Philippians 3, 7 through 17, that he has suffered the loss of all things, that he might gain Christ. And this is God's way. If we're really serious with the Lord, then we will, Paul is an example right there, as I mentioned, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. He's an example. If we want to see an example of a true minister of the gospel, the testimony and the character of a true minister of the gospel, read 2 Corinthians. See the kind of man that Paul is and the cost that he paid. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through 13, he's having to defend his apostolic ministry to those who were attacking him. Right there at Corinth. And so we are at war, and anyone who takes a stand against the satanic kingdom and seeks to see God's kingdom advance and the church to grow and to be equipped to deal with the enemy is going to be a target. And so that just goes with the territory. Paul told Timothy, if we desire to live a godly, you know, a godly Christ-centered life in Christ Jesus, Paul said, you will suffer persecution. So it just goes with being a true disciple.
Yes, and the worst thing that we have to fight is the ignorance of the people, because it's very difficult to wake up people that have been hypnotized by a fake gospel that is all facilities. You just have to pay your taxes to the temple, and it doesn't prepare anything. I have come from 8 years on a church that all the principles have handed on the trial of stealing money and enriching themselves, stealing the money of the church, but they were so deceived, so satanic, because that's what the principal expression that we have to use. They were so demonic, infiltrated, that they used to say to the people that using the name of Jesus Christ to repulse the enemy it's for movements. It's not for the real church. We have the blood. So the people were being taught not to use the name of Jesus, contradicting the teaching of the Jesus teaching, and believing in this man. And people were dying, people were healed, just pleading for the blood, as if the name of Jesus was not politically correct. So can you imagine these graces that happen on this church? And when I get up to fight this thing, I was the crazy one. I was the rebellion. So for me to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and His ordinance and His words and His commandments and His teaching, I had to get out of this place. And I was there 8 years trying to do the work of an evangelist. People were blind to see they could not see that these guys, they were, that after all, they ended on the trial, on the trials of the world, because they were uncovered. But these guys all were Masons, were connected to Masons. They were teaching to open the Bible, ask God a verse, and pleading by the blood, no more name of Jesus Christ. So you can see how these people were blinded, and so much sheep they were hurt and dying with cancer, just pleading by the blood. But they had already been justified, but they were not following the commandments of Jesus Christ, because Satan put their agents inside, and they teach doctrine of demons that replace the teachings and the authority of the name of Jesus. And this is just a simple example how subtle is our adversary. It's always the same tactic, with some manipulation, with text out of context, with half-truth, and the people, they fall. They fall like Eve, they fall like Adam in the same propositions, diminishing Jesus Christ and overpowering the man controlled by Satan. This is just a simple example of my life, you see.
Well, yes. Well, that's, I think, so you live in Portugal, if I understand correctly.
Yep.
The predominant traditional Christian church, if you want to refer to that, is the Roman Catholic Church. Is that correct?
Yes, but we are being infiltrated here with a lot of evangelic apostate church that cannot do the good work, you see?
Yeah.
The problem
yeah.
is that the people, they only have to choose in between Catholic traditions that don't save, don't do nothing good, and the commercial church that they talk about money, tithing, but they are full of Masons, full of the gospel of prosperity. It's good for the feelings, but it's not good for the spirit. So our ministry, it's not against church. I say this, but against the what they do on the church, what they teach on the church. This is the problem. I don't have anything about if the people want to go to hell, they can go to hell. Okay, live fast. Live how they want. If you want to go, go. But don't teach a lie. Don't teach a lie where I'm present. Don't distortion the Bible. Don't make the Bible like Jesus Christ, because they can manipulate the Bible, but they cannot manipulate Jesus Christ. And the church, where I was 8 years fighting for the truth, ended on the trials. One more scandal in the name of Jesus Christ, you see, because when they go to trial, when the papers put their names, they don't put only the name of the church, they put the name of the church that is said it's a Christian church. So who pays the price? Jesus Christ. This is the big problem. We don't have, we are few, we have some, right? I'm not alone on this. We have a lot of people that here, I am married with a Brazilian woman, and we have a lot of people in Brazil that are hearing. But Brazil needs them. It's the same thing, you see. There is a few body, there is a body of Christ, a spiritual body that is awakening. It's a small awakening yet. But what Jesus, what the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has been telling us is that He will raise 300. He will raise always a minority. But it's this one that will work, because He has chosen. We just need to wait, because He will bring it. He will unite them in all the world. And
yes.
We are seeing this. We are seeing this. Jesus is bringing to this program, He brings it to our knowledge. We have been meeting people that are precious, that are connected with the truth and not only with half the truth. People that are tired of the deceptions of Satan that were blinded, were like Samson. I was like Samson for a time, but I didn't stay on the temple of the Philistines. I get out because I know that God will bring them down and I will be not there. So that's why you were guided to accept our invitation, because we want to be with the Gideons of this time, with the prophets, with those that were on the valley of the dry bones, but are being filled with the Spirit. And this is the army that Jesus is raising for these days. I know you know that the elite, as you try to not to speak, but I will speak because I don't have problems to call the things by his names. We know that the elites are doing these things, creating an army of hybrids, of zombies, of ninjas. But I want you to know, Pastor, that we are chosen to be the ninjas, the agents of Jesus Christ. And I don't operate in fear. Russia can enter in war with USA. Aliens can be coming. But our Jesus, our Lord, is bigger. If a missile comes to your city, he will explode before he hits your city. You know why? Because you are there.
Yeah, that's right.
You have an alliance. You have an alliance with Jesus Christ. And maybe those who try to send the missile to your city will end with the missile on his bathroom. Because our Lord knows how to save those who are faithful to them. Our Lord took Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah by loving Abram, by the faithfulness of Abram. He doesn't change. So we don't have afraid of the Illuminati. We don't have afraid to die. Because dying, it's going fast to the place where our Lord is. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of hearing his one day, in my judgment day, saying, "I don't know you, Jose." This is it. This is what I am afraid. So I want to challenge our listeners to hear your testimony too, as I know you have people that you helped. Now they are serving Jesus Christ with you. They are giving fruits. And there are so many soldiers there. They are distracted, Pastor. They are seduced by the facilities of the gospel of prosperity. They never start the real working for the King. They are working for themselves. Please, tell us a story about someone you have helped that now is working with you.
Yes. Well, we have several. Each one is very special and unique. The very first person that became fully integrated and resolved of all of her DID and programming went ahead and got her master's in counseling and psychology, and she is very, very effective in spiritual warfare. And if I leave and go somewhere, we have people here that can do the work without me being here. So that speaks of itself. I mean, some people, you know, if when they leave or the one in leadership leaves, then everything comes to a stop. If I leave, the work continues on. If we have, you know, about a a month ago, we had a couple with a wife that was highly programmed, programmed by Dr. Mengele, came here for 2 weeks of work here in the United States. And I was doing the work, but we have people here that would sit in with me, and so that we're working together. And so I mentioned this one lady that is now very much fruitful in serving the Lord. In fact, we, in 2012, My wife and I went to South Africa. We took four survivors with us, and their mm-hmm. testimonies are on the website under SRADID. And we held two seminars, one in Pretoria and one in Cape Town, South Africa, two mm-hmm. four-day seminars. And what I did is I would speak, and then they sat at a table, and we interacted, and they shared their testimony and what God had done in and through their time of restoration, the history that they'd come out of. Most of them come out of the royal families of Europe, very hidden. Mm-hmm. And so there's an individual, a man who I've known since 1979, who is fully integrated. Is fruitful and serving the Lord. And a young girl came to us from Canada about 4 years ago, and very complex. All of her programming was done by hybrids, which was very mm-hmm. complex, and I hadn't seen that before in a younger generation. But within 4 years, it used to take us 15 years. Within 4 years, she has come a long ways and is very integrated now and fruitful. She talks with people who are in bondage, who are SRADID, and she's a great asset and a help. So that's the goal, is the very people that are delivered by the Lord, who are brought into integration and wholeness, are the most effective and most useful in working yeah. with others. And so we have a lot of demand on us. I cannot work with everyone. If someone seeks help, they have to have a counselor or a therapist that they're already working with, because I have to train. Mm-hmm. I have to train people, and I can't work with everyone on an individual basis. So mm-hmm. that's why people that are I mentioned in our assembly and elsewhere, as they get trained. Our host in South Africa, she said, until we came to South Africa, there was no ability to resolve. She didn't see. She'd been working many years in the counseling ministry, and mm-hmm. people were not being resolved. They weren't making progress. And we went down there in 2012. She says, everything has changed. It's changed. And I mean, there's more conflict. Mm-hmm. People are speaking against us on one side, and others are coming back for more training. We have people that are going to be coming from South Africa in May. And so what happened is that when you come in with a sharp two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and the spirit, and there is that which was once gray. Well, now it's either light or dark. And so what happens when Jesus Christ shows up in a body of people that have come out of this background, it polarizes the light and the dark, and people are now able to see more clearly what's going on. So I think that's the whole goal, Jose, is for people to come out of this awful captivity and bondage and come to a place where they are whole and complete and lacking in nothing, like it says in James 1:4, and that doesn't mean perfect in the sense that they can't sin anymore, or they still continue to grow, but there's a place where they're very resolved and are very fruitful in serving the Lord and helping others that I can't get to.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you mentioned South Africa, because I know probably you know as well. There is a portal there or something like this that was one of the regions where the fallen angels, they have some kind of post, advancing post, headquarters. We have the testimony of this guy called Credo Mutua, which is a kind of shaman. He talks with David Icke. I don't know if you heard his interview, but it's amazing because the history of this guy, of like Genesis 6, okay, he talks about some lizard men that came from the sky, and they hide themselves on the caverns, and they abduct people to make experience, to have sex with them, and the woman to have children with them. I don't know if you have heard this, but you can find this in the YouTube. It's called Credo Mutua, David Hicke. It's one of the biggest interviews of David Hicke. But I'm not saying that he knows all the truth, because he's a kind of shaman. He's not a Christian guy. He's on these types of religions of voodoo and things like this. But I know that there is a lot of activity, demonic activity in South Africa. Do you agree?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of witchcraft and powerful shamans. And, of course, the whole apartheid, those that were basically pro-apartheid were very Nazi-oriented. They were, Mein Kampf was a book that they would use to maintain their separation as the white, superior whites. And so this in and of itself has created a tremendous stronghold there. And the culture is, there's a lot of potential for civil unrest that is just very, very, just hardly under the surface, So, but yeah, there's a portal. We went to Foot Trucker Monument. Foot Trucker is in Pretoria. That is a sister monument of the Battle for the Nation Monument in Leipzig, Germany, where we were this last August. And in Germany is very interesting. South Africa, I would just say that if you go down to Cape Town, there's the Cecil Rhodes Monument. Cecil Rhodes was an insider. He was one of the elite. He worked for the crown, and he raped South Africa of its mineral and its natural resources, all for the British crown, which are a bunch of Nazis. The British crown are all Nazis.
He's one of the founders of the trilateral.
The round table. He was
round table. Right.
Yeah. So we were there. Yes. Yeah, we were there at the Cecil Rhodes Monument, and it was quite a. It looks like sort of a Greek. If you could look it up, the Cecil Rhodes Memorial there in Cape Town, you could see what it looks like. We were there and did prayer work. There's, I think, called Table Mountain there. All kinds of rituals go on. South Africa, Germany, we were in what Russ Dizdar refers to as the belly of the beast. We were there as last August. I forgot the name of the castle that Himmler built there, that triangulated castle, Weselberg, or however you pronounce it, working with the German. She had the castle inside her programming, inside her. And these portals, here's the thing, Jose, people want to understand. There's these portals that represent attraction and openings for the powers of darkness into the earth, like Mount Hermon was when 200 fallen angels came down to produce the first hybrids in Genesis 6:1-4. That was a portal there of Mount Hermon. But what Satan has done through SRADID, everyone that I've worked with becomes a portal. They themselves are a portal. And so that Satan can, they're actually linked and interfaced with Satan and his throne, which is located now under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. In Revelation 2:13, it was then located in Pergamum. World War II, it was in Nazi Germany, but it's been relocated, his actual throne, under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The people that are SRADID are actually interfaced with Satan's throne, like fiber optics, through the hybrids. The hybrids are the interface and connection. And so this has been tested. This is not theory. I mean, I've done this for many years, and people may not understand this, but it's a reality. And you have to break the bonds that are between the what has been called Nephilim mothers and their hybrid sons. There's a mother bond and a wife bond, because these deep bonds are actual connection lines and links with Satan and himself. So that what this means is that everyone who is SRADID is like a node. It is like a fiber optic so that wherever they are, mm-hmm. there is a representation of Satan and his throne channeling through them as a portal. So this is something that we're dealing with, and when we work with these people, we shut down that connection with Satan and his throne, and he is losing, but he can't do this with unbelievers, because unbelievers are not members of a body. They're all dead in trespasses and sins. But if Satan can, he's after Christians, because as members of the body of Christ, he steals that whole configuration, and he penetrates it through ritual abuse and trauma-based mind control, so that the body of Christ now becomes a means to be his presence and extension through trauma-based mind control. And the one who pioneered this was Dr. Josef Mengele of Auschwitz, and of course others like Dr. John Bowlby. These people masterminded this as inspired by Satan to bring in a new world order under Antichrist, and it's far more advanced than anyone could ever imagine.
Yes, and it's a kind of strategy to demoralize a little bit more the faith in Jesus Christ. People like Miley Cyrus, that is a daughter of a pastor, it became a doll of the Illuminati, as you can see now. And as Satan is using these persons to show the world that he is the real winner, but we know his strategy. He likes to publicize the great victories he can achieve. I don't know how this was possible for this little girl that we all saw. She was an example of a child on a happy family with all the Christian education, and bringing her to the lights of the movies and the theaters to do all these presentations for Satan. But for me, it's just another confirmation that we must prepare ourselves, defend our family, because we are the target. We Christians are the target, and we will be called to this war, or to fight, or to be just a victim. So it's now that we must decide. There are no green zone, black or white. Or we prepare and we attack, or we will be the first victims of this war. We that one day confess Jesus Christ, the Armageddon, I don't get tired to say this, the Armageddon, the Revelation book, is a spiritual book. It will become physical manifestation of this war. But the spiritual war is already engaged, because it's a war not against only Israel. It's against the land. It's against the faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we are starting to see. Miley Cyrus, I don't know what happened. I have heard his father talking, but I never get a good explanation for what happened. See? But it's a case that we have to study. We have to present. This is the future of our children, of our grandchildren, if we don't take position. Nobody can say, it will not happen with me. It will happen if we don't take the position God wants us to take. This is my belief, because you have said now, these guys, these hybrids, the strategy is it's not to create another human being. It's to create its extension of Satan. Through its extension of diabolic creatures.
That's right.
He's not creating anything. He's just corrupting the image. He's just creating, as Ben Garcia says, he's the serpent seed. It's the serpent seed he is recreating. Now a little bit more intelligent, not so big like the giant, but much more intelligent and subtle like the serpent. It's the seed extension of his harm because you control these guys, these zombies, these people, these traumatized people. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the soul of these people, it's the demons they put inside of them. Brother, I'm going to update this, but before I want you to know that I would like to make some other shows. If it's possible, I would like to bring one of these women that you have worked, that now they are free, they are happy to, they can talk free about this, they can touch much more deeper in the hearts of those who need help with these own words. Maybe we can arrange when you just send me an email, you talk, maybe you can talk to one of your partners now, and maybe she or he can talk about his experience with your work. We would like to be an ally here in Europe for you, for your ministry. Our doors are always open. If you have some project here, or if you know someone who needs some kind of support for us, we are with you. You can recommend us. We will help if you want someday come here to see this land, to check the land. We will be here for you, okay? I want you to know
thank
this
you.
Because you are worthy of our respect, and I'm honored to call you pastor. I don't say this to much people because my pastor is Jesus Christ, but there are some people, fortunately there are few, but there are like you people that are worthy to be called pastor, and you are one of those that I am honored to call pastor, okay?
Well, thank you so much, Jose. So, yeah, I will. We will talk about when we could, you know, someone we could bring on. I got several people we could talk about. Yeah, we can do that, and I'll let you know what will work, and maybe
well,
a little bit of time.
Okay, I will wait for your email about this, and then we'll fix a date to continue. But a little bit more deeper, and we don't go there now because this is not a random title for this ministry. We are here. We have been raised to destroy the strongholds of the enemy. We are not happy only to talk about. We want to pray. We want to talk. We want to warn people because we want to frustrate the plans of the enemy. We are tired of being targets. Now we are the hunter, and
there you go.
We are hunting demons. We are hunting Illuminatis. We are hunting. We are in the power of the Holy Spirit now because this is a project that is. It comes from the heart of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or we will not talk having this program on. I know that will be a lot of people that will hear on the archive this program. There is a lot of people in Brazil that are hearing, and maybe they are saying, okay, I have passed this on my church. Now I have someone who understands. So I'm just going to update this, and when we return, I just want you to present your marvelous wife, because I know that she's your right arm, and she is a big piece on this puzzle that is your ministry, right?
Yes, good. Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay. Just give me some minutes. Na continuação da conversa que tivemos, o senhor falou da sua atividade em vários países, principalmente na África do Sul, na Alemanha, onde está preparando grupos para dar continuidade a este trabalho, porque é propósito de Deus levantar grupos que estejam dispostos a estar na linha da frente para ajudar esses cativos que Deus quer tirar das mãos do inimigo, para depois também servirem de testemunho e para ajudar a alcançar os objetivos, que é desmascarar estas redes internacionais, desmascarar os agentes do inimigo, impedir e frustrar os planos do inimigo nas congregações e na desmoralização do Evangelho em geral, mas sobretudo tentar, porque já esteve mais longe esse objetivo, levar a tribunal, desmascarar essas pessoas. E não é por acaso que nós temos no dia 31 de março o Papa e o Vaticano em tribunal. Finalmente vão ter que dar respostas sobre o acobertamento da pedofilia dentro da instituição católica. Também não é por acaso que se levantam estas guerras todas, precisamente cada vez que há uma descoberta de um anel de pedofilia a nível já socialmente alto, como foi o caso do Reino Unido, com aquela história toda da BBC e os lords gays infiltrados lá nesse ring, né? Pessoas políticos, né? São assumidamente gays, mas que estão também andam lá misturados na pedofilia, maçom, que é muito frequente, serem envolvidos nisso, infelizmente. Não estou a falar contra todos os maçons, mas é público que têm sido, infelizmente, mais manchados até, porque de vez em quando apanha-se assim uma surpresa dessas, né? Tem feitores por fora, lá por dentro, é que mais melancias. Mas infelizmente é isto que nós temos, é o politicamente correto por fora e o maligno por dentro. E o pastor estava falando que na África do Sul, por exemplo, já são raízes de antiquíssimas que se instalaram lá, já vem da política da apartheid, de tudo o que foi lá fundado na África do Sul com base no nazismo, estes ingleses que lá fundaram a apartheid vêm do Império Britânico, que se misturou, que tirou todas as riquezas àquele povo, mas fundou para se espalhar este império maligno pelo mundo inteiro. Tem lá um monumento que é dedicado ao Cecil Rhodes, que foi um dos fundadores, né, que deu origem ao que hoje é, né, o FMI. Toda a gente deve ao FMI, todos os países do FMI, que começou lá, sacando as riquezas das colónias. Esses banqueiros estão hoje controlando os governadores, os governantes de todo o mundo, porque todo o planeta deve, tem dívida com o FMI. E isso começou numa mesa redonda de lordes britânicos que sacavam as riquezas das colónias. A África do Sul foi uma coisa impressionante, né? Ficaram de rastros. Todas as riquezas foram para a Inglaterra e depois deram origem aos Estados Unidos. Mas tudo isso tem um porquê. Tem porque já antes disso tudo havia ali uma colónia de seres malignos que tinha apresentado aquela gente como deuses também. Por isso é que há lá montes de bruxaria e de... E se quiserem investigar mais fundo, vejam o testemunho de um xamã chamado Credo Mika, que o David Icke descobriu. Está no YouTube, está em português também. Basta irem ver e investigar. Vejam a história daquele homem, dizendo que foi raptado quando era jovem por homens lagarto que vivem nas cavernas, chamados reptilianos, né? Que levam meninos e meninas para gerar lagartinhos. Mais vale ver por vocês mesmos. Portanto, como podem ver, isto é sério, a batalha é real, vivemos num mundo politicamente correto, mas hipócrita. Porque é podre por dentro. Muito podre por dentro. Quando há um escândalo que se levanta e quando estes maçons, quando estes lordes estão prestes a ser apanhados, arranja-se uma crise qualquer internacional, seja na Síria, agora na Ucrânia, é para não se ver o que vai acontecer. Para a nossa atenção está distraída. A verdade é que dia 31, não se esqueçam, o Tribunal Internacional contra os Abusos das Crianças vai levar o Vaticano e o Papa a responder em público. Mas vocês vão ver o que é que isso vai dar. Vão chegar a um acordo e fica tudo. Porquê? Porque agora o que está na moda é a Ucrânia. Amen, brother. I have updated here and I I want you also to comment about this. This is the old illusionist trick. 2 years ago on the United Kingdom, it blows a scandal on the BBC about a pedophilian ring. Coincidentally or no, after a week, comes a crisis on Syria, on North Korea, and everything there, I don't know what happened. I don't know anything what happened there. Never heard more about this scandal. Next 31 March, Vatican and the Pope will be on trial for the cover-up of the pedophilian priests. Coincidentally, comes a crisis on Ukrainian, just to divert, just to change the subject. Probably will end in a negotiation or something, and we'll, it seems that there is an effort for these guys never being caught, completely discover what's happening. Do you agree?
I can only comment on the British Crown. I know the British Crown was behind the assassination of Princess Diana. That was all set up. I have the documentation on that and many, many testimonies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the diversion, the British monarchy, the House of Windsor are German. Their original name is Battenberg, and Prince Philip has been the number one nemesis, human nemesis, in my life. Prince Charles has been involved, and all these guys, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, the Queen. I'm working with people that are the actual hidden offspring of these people. And so the largest monarchy in the world right now is still the Windsor, House of Windsor, which is German. And in the major rituals that people reported, the Pope kisses the ring of people like Prince Philip. It's not the other way around, okay? Mm-hmm. So I have documents here on who Prince Philip is, and he has been one of the number one handlers for those that represent people who are SRADID coming out of the Illuminati and the cult. The popes are subordinate. They have a position to represent a false Christianity. Not that all Catholics are not Christians, but it just means that if you're in that system, you're not going to grow. You will not grow. But the majority have a false view of salvation. They don't have a correct view. So that's the Vatican is very much involved in ritual activity, but that's more to maintain those that are under the Catholic domination. When you deal with someone like the members of the royal family, they're, for example, Prince Philip is the occult head of the World Council of Churches. You'll never find that. You won't find that going online. It's a cult. It's hidden. Mm-hmm. And that means that they're behind every religion in the world except true Christianity. He would profess to be a Christian, but he is not. So, yeah, the diversion is that, for example, when Princess Di was murdered, everybody knew at the time that Prince Philip had ordered it it was orchestrated through MI6. The car was compromised. The whole thing was orchestrated and set up when Princess Diana was killed in 1997. It was 11 minutes to the hospital, and it took, over 2 hours. They let her die. And so there's reasons behind that. But, I mean, these people get away from murder. JFK, the president, he was murdered by more than one person. I mean, it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, I've worked with people that were actually in London when this they were plotting. They, out of the inner city of London, were plotting the death of JFK, and it was filtered down to certain agents in the CIA and passed on to a mafia hit team, and I mean, it was layered. But it's the world bankers, it's the Illuminists, and now at the very head of this international cabal, there are hybrids there. And these are for real. This is as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the return of the Son of Man. So behind every world leader now since 1976, we have a hybrid who is a direct extension and representation of Satan himself.
Let me just ask something. Prince Philip is the husband of the Mother Queen?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, brother, we have only, unfortunately, we have more of 4 minutes.
Okay.
And please introduce your precious wife. And the rest, I hope this will be the first of some shows we will make. I want you just to know that our door is always open to you and your ministry. Please, we have 4 minutes. Introduce your wife and let us know how helpful she's been for you.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate your fellowship, Jose, and this opportunity we've had together. My wife, Lori, we've been married 39 years, and she is absolute blessing in every way. She has been by my side, gone to hell and back so many times. She's a wonderful asset in the body of Christ. If people go to my website and go to SRADID and scroll down to Exposed, Satan's Last Days Hybrid Breeding Program, and scroll down to the last video, they can watch my wife speak for about an hour to counselors, and they will be able to see what kind of a person she is. But she's a real blessing to many, and especially to me. Very much involved with prayer walking. She takes the scriptures and goes on prayer walks. And you know, that's a very strong ministry she has. She's often with me when I'm doing the work, but we have other people that set in, so we give her breaks. But she's very wonderful as a hostess in hospitality. And she's really a woman of God. And I say this with all sincerity. I would not be here. I would actually be dead if it wasn't for her faithfulness and her being intercessor on my behalf. So if I get a crown in heaven, she will have her own plus mine, that which represents me. So, yeah, she's just a really great and wonderful person.
I believe, because I have a blessing of a wife from the Lord, too, so I know what you are talking. I was saying this because I want people, especially women, that need some help if they have some kind of restriction to talk with men. Know that the wife of Pastor Doug Riggs does the same work, okay? Brother,
yes.
Once again, I want you to know that it was an honor to have you here. I'm hoping that we will continue this partnership in next weeks. We'll be waiting for your contact. You know that you just need me to give me a date, and we will arrange some time to bring you back with the continuation of your testimony, okay?
Okay, great, Jose. Thank you again for this time together.
Okay, it was our pleasure. A great, great hug to your wife, this great warrior of God. And we will contact, man. We will talk again soon.
Okay.
I will wait. I will be waiting for your contact.
Okay,
stay blessed,
very good.
Stay strong. And
all right.
God bless you, brother.
All right. Same
bye-bye.
To you. Bye-bye, Jose. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My brothers and my sisters, thank you. We are ending. It was a pleasure. Please share this show. We will be back soon. Say bye-bye. Stay blessed.